Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week I bring you exciting new guests to talk about UFOs and the paranormal. And like I always say, there is so much to talk about. UFOs in particular are one of my favorite subjects, and I just think it's an exploding field, and we're going to be hearing a lot more about UFOs in the future, and it's just a really, really exciting subject, and that's what our show is going to be about tonight. I've brought on an exciting guest who you probably haven't heard of before. Her name is Anne Witherspoon. I've interviewed her a couple of times already about her really incredible experiences with ETs, gray-type ETs, and possibly more. She's been having these experiences since she was a young girl in the 1960s is when they began, and I believe it was Missouri. And
yeah.
She's been having these experiences regularly since then, and has been visited several times a year, pretty much, for at least 20 years. And just a really wide variety of experiences. I think what's interesting in Anne's case is that she does get some communication back from the ETs. I would say in 80% of the people I've interviewed who have extensive encounters, they don't get a lot of conversations, or the conversation is one-sided. But Anne was able to get some interesting information about the ETs, why they're visiting her, a little bit about where they come from and things like this. So that's what we'll be talking about tonight. Our guest is Anne Witherspoon. Anne, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Hey, you're welcome. Glad to be here.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I've interviewed a lot of people who've had UFO experiences.
Yeah,
and,
well, I've got my share, that's for sure.
You're one of that smaller percentage, I would say, who remembers, you know, a lot of what has happened to you.
Yeah.
And
I seem to find as the years have gone by, you know, I'm in my mid-40s now, that I'm recovering memories spontaneously through sleep, you know, and that's where some of these memories have come from. But, you know, but some are consciously recalled as well, you know.
Right.
So,
right,
do you want to talk about 65?
1965?
Yeah.
That was like when you were like 4 years old or so?
Yeah, I was about four then, and I have, I think, about three stories I can tell you, you know, if there's time. And, let's see, where should we start? You want to start with the Greys or the two little men that looked like Italians?
Well, which happened first, do you think?
Well, I'm not sure because I'm pretty sure this was all during the summer. Well, no, the one was because I was outside and it was afternoon and everything. So I know it was summer there, and I'm pretty sure the other two were during the summer because I just had a little thin gown, didn't have on any shoes or anything, socks or anything, you know, and I wasn't cold.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure, and I was outside in one part of it.
Let's hear about the two Italian ones. I haven't heard that.
Okay,
one.
Yeah, the two little Italian guys. Okay, yeah, that was, they weren't Italian, of course. Let me be clear about that. But their faces looked very Italian, now that I look back in memory. They were about 2 feet tall, so pretty basically we were eye to eye. And this was afternoon. We lived in Potosi, Missouri at the time, which is about 65 miles south of St. Louis. If anybody wants to look that up, they can. And I was in the backyard playing, you know, what else do four-year-old kids do? And these two little men came up to me from the backyard of one of the other houses. There was no fences or anything in between, so it's like having this one, you know, four or five houses with one giant backyard. And they did not have on, like, whitish kind of suits, you know, one-piece suits that sort of looked like astronaut suits. But they had, they had no insignia or anything on. They weren't wearing gloves or helmets. They were wearing what appeared to be boots or something into the legs, you know, like a one-piece thing.
Right.
And they did look very Italian. They had lots of thick jet black hair, and they must have known a little something about our culture at the time because they had it poofed way up in the front and it looked like it was slicked down straight in the back. And a lot of guys were wearing their hair that way at that time. And,
were they adults?
Yes, they were. They appeared to be. They looked like they were, like they had adult heads on child-sized bodies. You know what I'm saying? Because I could see their hands, and their hands looked more like little kids' hands. They were fat and pudgy, you know. And, but they appeared to be adults in their faces, you know. And they had bushy black eyebrows, long straight noses, and just these big enormous smiles. They just smiled and smiled, you know, and they seemed so sweet, you know, but they didn't say anything, you know, and they didn't communicate telepathically either, or, you know, if they could, they didn't say anything to me. And one little man was further away, and he was looking at things in the neighbor's backyard, and the other little man was nearer to me, and he held up two fingers at some point, kind of like the peace sign, you know?
Right.
And, so, of course, I did the same thing, you know. I held up two fingers to him, and thinking that's all there was to it. But what he did was he put his two fingertips, so the first two fingers, on my two fingertips, you know, sort of like, you know, like that.
Yeah, I understand.
And, you know, so I don't know if that was, you know, if they had seen people doing the peace sign and thought that was how they should be doing it, because, of course, that was going around in the 60s, too, you know, or what exactly. And I thought about handshakes, too. You know, maybe they were combining the peace sign and the handshake or something, you know. They weren't quite sure whether they got that right or not. But he was looking off over past me, and I didn't quite know what he was looking at the time. But in a couple of seconds, I heard this very, very slight whirring sound. And I turned and I looked, and here's this little thing sitting there. And I didn't know it at the time, but it was must have been a little spaceship. And
what did it look like?
Well, it was about, I would say it was about 10 feet wide. It was hexagonal in shape, flat on the top, tapering sides to a wider middle. The middle part is the widest, then tapering down and flat on the bottom. The top part, it was very clearly delineated in the middle. You know, the top part was very plain, and the bottom part had all this, I'm not quite sure what you call it, like petaling or scalloping or something on it. And it was a very, very pale yellow. And that's kind of where the memory ends there. It's just with them, you know, their ride was there and they had to go, you know.
Right.
So, but that's the two little Italian men.
No.
And
what
then,
do you think that those were ETs?
Yeah, they had to be. Nobody else in the neighborhood had a car like that. You know,
what
in the backyard, you know.
What color was this thing? Did it have, like, windows or anything?
No, didn't see any windows or antenna or anything, just the scalloping at the bottom, on the bottom half.
Right.
Yeah.
What color was it?
Very, very pale yellow.
Huh. And
it was almost silent. I just heard this tiny little whirring sound, you know, and I could only hear that just as it was, you know, it was just then sliding down to a stop, you know, and I could really only hear that because it was probably only maybe 15 feet away, you know.
Huh.
And
so what did the guy do after he touched your fingers, his fingers to yours?
They both, you know, went over to it. I didn't see them get in, but, you know, because that's kind of where the memory ends there, but. You know, yeah, he just kind of did this little finger tapping and, you know, and away they went, you know. But they seemed like the sweetest little men. They both just smiled and, you know, they seemed very sweet, you know.
And would you say they could pass for human?
They would be considered midgets, I guess. But, yeah, right. I would say, yeah, I definitely think they could pass for human, yeah. You know,
wow.
and those little suits, the I should tell you this too, they had what looked like kind of a little ring around the neck, like where a helmet might go, but they didn't have helmets on, you know, and they didn't have gloves on, you know, so they were obviously okay with the atmosphere and everything, so.
Right. Well, that's an interesting story. I haven't heard anything quite like that,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have to say.
So. Yeah, well, you got me and Sue, you got the sisters and weird, you know.
So that was happened at the same time around as the other encounter?
I'm thinking, well, of course, because those, the other two were at night. This was up in the afternoon, you know. So, one other thing about that, too, is I don't remember seeing anybody else around. So I don't know where everybody else was, where all the kids were and stuff. But, you know, I seem to be the only one that got to see that, you know. So, or maybe there was something else going on prior to that part of the recovery of the memory, so.
Right.
You know, but,
well,
but at any rate, you know, there it is for what it's worth, you know.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, I think so. So let's
so
see.
The other one.
Yeah. The next one that, because these two happened in succession, so I'll talk about the first one first. This was sometime up in the night. I got up out of bed because I don't know. I don't know if I sensed presences or, you know, heard talking or what. But anyway, I got up and I went to my bedroom door, and there were two of the smaller grays in the hallway, and one was coming. They were both slowly coming towards me. But one was coming from my parents' room, and the other one was coming towards me from the kitchen. And, you know, I was absolutely delighted to see them, you know, because I knew if they were there, then it was time to play and have fun, you know.
Huh.
And who cared what time of the night it was or what they looked like or how they got in the house or whatever, you know. And so I was absolutely delighted to see them. And
what did they look like?
They were the shorter ones. They did have the big black eyes, but they were round, like buttons, you know. I think that's one thing I liked about them, because I had a teddy bear with big button eyes, too, you know. And I think I kind of thought they looked like toys in a way. And you know, they were skinny. They had the very long arms. I'm certain I remember one of their fingers almost dragging the floor, you know, which is a little strange to look at, you know, because nobody else does that, you know, walks around that way. And I only remember seeing three fingers. You know, it's possible I missed one, but I only remember seeing three.
Right.
And also, behind the one that was coming from the kitchen, like most kitchens, our kitchen had a window up above the sink. And I could see this beautiful, kind of, I guess you'd call it an electric blue light. And I thought it was coming from the kitchen, but I think it was probably coming in from the kitchen window, you know. And now, I don't know how I had this association, but I had the association of my mom being with the blue light. You know, remember, I was four.
Right.
And so I thought, well, you know, I want to go see what my mom's doing. You know, I want to go be with my mom. And they obviously sensed that. And the one coming from the kitchen said to me, go to the living room and wait for your mom. And that's what I did. And that's kind of where that memory ends, is right there, because I'm assuming they brought her back in, and, you know, maybe they took me out. You know, I'm not sure what happened after that, but I think the one coming from my mom and dad's bedroom was probably turning off my dad, because I don't think they were ever interested in him. You know, it was always a mother-daughter thing, you know, with us.
Right.
And, so, you know, of course, I didn't know that at the time, but, you know, as the memory expresses itself now, you know, I can look back and think, oh, yeah, I'll bet that's what was happening, you know, that they were, as they say, turning him off, you know.
I've certainly heard that sort of thing before.
Yeah, you know, because I'm certain I remember him just slowly walking out of their, you know, out of their door, walking up to me, you know, and, you know, and then the other one coming in, you know, from the other direction, so.
Right.
So that's,
You never actually remember playing with them, these guys, even though I'm...
No, but I knew it was, yeah, I don't have any memories of that, but I'll let you know if they surface.
It was playtime. You remember it was
playtime? Because I knew if they were in the house, boy, it was time to play and have fun. Yeah, and who cared what hour of the day it was, yeah, or whatever.
No, that is something I've heard before. Is there are several people who've told me that same thing, that you know, sometimes they're brought onto ships and they play with ETs.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's in their bedroom, but
So there's I don't have a direct memory of that just yet, but I'm pretty certain, you know, that all of that is in the mix, you know. And so let's see. So this other memory is a memory of me. Now, there again, this is up in the night. This is still the summer of 65. I'm pretty sure it wasn't the same night, but I suppose it could have been. Because there again, I'm just in this little, you know, this little summer nightgown, you know, nothing on my feet or anything, and it's not cold out. And so what I'm doing, I'm walking down the sidewalk. This is with one of the taller ones, you know, and he's holding my left hand with his right hand, and we're, you know, walking along. What he's doing is walking me back home. You know, he's literally walking me home. So what he does, we stop, about catty corner across the street from my house. This is a very small town. You know, there's no traffic at this hour, not in 65. So, you know, so him leaving me across the street was a perfectly safe thing to do. And what he did was he let my hand go, and he walked up in front of me, and he kind of bent down a little bit with his hands on his legs, kind of like you've seen adults talk to children that way, human adults. And I'm guessing he has seen people do that. And he said, telepathically, "Your turn is over. You can go home now." You know, okay, you know, thought nothing of that, you know. Thought nothing of this being anything other than normal, you know. Thought nothing unusual about it. And so then he turned and disappeared. And so then I turned to see where he went, you know. Well, he was gone, but, you know, at the end of the street, we lived on Nicholson Drive, if anybody wants to look that up. At the end of the street, I could see this incredible, brilliantly white light. It was almost too bright to look at. But, of course, there were houses in the way in that, so that broke some of it up. But there was enough light there that I could see this whole log line of people standing there, you know, in a line. Most of them were kids, but there were a few adults there. And I remember specifically seeing this one man, and there were probably maybe 15 or 20 people in line ahead of him, but he was kind of a sandy-haired, blonde man, looked like. He was probably about as old as my dad, probably in his mid-30s. And I remember, he had PJs and a bathrobe on, you know, and the bathrobe looked yellowish in the light, you know, kind of yellowish.
Right.
And, you know, I just remember, you know, staring at all those people, you know, and thinking that was odd, you know. What just happened to me wasn't odd, but it was odd seeing all these people lined up, you know, at the end of the street in the middle of the night in their pajamas, you know. And so I just, you know, turned walked across the street, opened the front door of the house, which of course was unlocked, you know, and went on in, and that's kind of where that memory ends there. But you know, there you have that for what it's worth.
Right. Well, that's the sort of thing I've heard before as well.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently,
yeah.
You know, what's interesting about that is, I mean, this is happening to a lot of people.
It's not.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, there was a lot of people in that line, and I'm sure they were people from the neighborhood, you know, because it was an average neighborhood. I don't know how many houses per street, but, you know, there were several streets there and quite a number of houses on them, you know.
Right. But it wasn't a really big town, really, and so for that many people.
Yeah, not really. I couldn't tell you what the population was, but somebody can probably look that up if they want, you know. But there were quite a good number of people in line there that night. And like I say, most of them were kids. You know, I'd say my age or a little bit older. And, cause this was sort of a young family's neighborhood, you know, cause so most of the families were, you know, about where we were, you know. And, there were a few families there with older kids, but not very many. Not that I can recall. And, you know, and like I say, I really remember that one man standing there and thinking, you know, how odd he looked in his pajamas and bathrobe, and, you know, and here were all these kids, too, you know. So that made it doubly odd, you know.
Right. Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight is Anne Witherspoon, and we're talking about her encounters with extraterrestrials. This is a call-in show, so I'm going to give out the toll-free number if any of you out there want to call in and ask a question. If you have a question about ETs or a question about Anne's encounters, or if you want to share your own experience, we'd love to hear from you. Here's the toll-free number. It's 888-228-4494. There's other numbers up there on the website if you're international. But here's the number one more time, 888-228-4494. Okay, now, Anne, following these experiences as, you know, 4 years old, you had further ones like when you were around, like, 9, is that right?
Let's see. Well, yeah, probably, you know, because, you know, these encounters come and go, you know, from year to year. And I think probably they peaked around the time I began having periods, you know. And because I remember a lot of nighttime bedroom visits, you know, that were not fun anymore. They were terrifying by that point. But
When you were having these nighttime visitations,
uh-huh,
you know, that were scary, did you realize what was happening?
No, I thought, you know, yeah, I thought a lot of it was nightmares, you know. That's when I began having a lot of screen memories, which, of course, I didn't know that what that was at the time. But one of them, and I think we've talked about this before, you and I, one of them was seeing Dracula in my bedroom door. You know, that was pretty scary. Another one, please.
No, that is scary, definitely.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, to see anybody in your doorway in the middle of the night, you know, that's pretty weird anyway. But, you know, for it to definitely be an image like that, you know. Another one was I was looking out the front door and seeing somebody outside, you know, like somebody trying to break into your house or something. And then, of course, I woke up and I hadn't been at the front door. You know, I had just been made to think that I had been. You know, and you want to talk about strange. That was a strange feeling, you know.
Right.
How did I get back in bed? I don't remember coming back down the hall, you know. Yeah, you know. And then I actually got up because I thought, what if I left the front door open, you know? Because I didn't, of course, you know. But it's just, you know, it's that disorientation, you know, because you don't know if this has really happened or it hasn't, you know.
Exactly.
And,
right.
I was trying to think what another one was.
Well, didn't you have that weird incident? Didn't you have that weird incident when you were like about to eat some cereal one time, and then the next thing you know?
Oh yeah, yes, yes. I was going to eat some cereal. That's right. It was Saturday. It was a Saturday morning, and I was going to have some cereal and watch cartoons. You know, yeah. What else are you going to do? And I had, as it happened, just checked the kitchen stove clock, and it was 9 o'clock or a minute or two till, you know, to see what show I wanted to see on what channel and that, you know. And I was stepping into the living room, and something happened to the TV sound, and I thought, oh boy, you know, there goes the show or something. So I'm looking over towards the TV, and I feel like I can't really move anymore, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, holy cow, what's happening to me, you know? First I can't hear anything, now I can't move, what the heck's going on, you know? And then right after that, of course, you know, I feel like I can hear this rushing of air, and then everything's okay again. But the picture on the TV has changed, you know, and the cereal that I've just poured is grossly soggy, you know, almost to the point of being not eatable anymore, you know, and I'm going, what the heck is going on, you know, and the only thing I could think of to do was to go back and look at the clock again to see, well, maybe I got, you know, maybe I got the wrong time or the wrong channel or something, you know, and because I'm still not thinking about anything like that going on, and I looked back at the clock, and it was like 9:20, you know, but it had just been 9 o'clock. So, you know, I have no idea what was going on in those 20 minutes, but I was standing there in the living room for whatever it was they were doing, you know.
And did it scare you? So, and what did you tell anybody?
I don't think I did tell anybody that. You know, I had a tendency to kind of, you know, not talk about all that in those days. And...
Weird.
But that was, yeah, that's the only consciously recalled missing time I can, that I have for you. You know, it's possible that I have, others, but,
Well, you did have a UFO sighting as well, right? Mm-hmm. When you were...
Well, yeah, I've had several over the years, yeah. There was one time we were out at a friend's house, and they lived out of town a few miles, and so it was sort of farm-like out there. And there, again, this was in the summer, but it was probably, I would say, 1970 or 71. And I know it was a Saturday night because after it was over and I went to tell my mom about it, Hee Haw was on, and I'm pretty sure Hee Haw was on Saturday night. So maybe somebody can look that up, too, but anyway. We were all kind of playing there in the around the driveway area and that, and there was a Mercury light there on the property, on the pole, you know, but it was right behind me and slightly to the right, and it was, I would say, duskish, you know, not terrifically dark yet, so it was probably maybe barely 9 o'clock, you know. And because the sun stays up pretty late, you know, in the summer. And what happened was our attention became drawn to this this round orange thing that was just above the trees. And it just kept getting bigger and bigger. It came in on a trackway almost. And I think what we were seeing was like the end of a tube-shaped object, tube-shaped or cigar-shaped.
Right.
And it was orange, kind of a deep orange, not a bright orange, and it did have a slight glow to it. Didn't see any windows or anything, and it really didn't make any noise. It just, you know, because, you know, we were all stunned, you know. You know, looking as we were looking at it, and I kind of think maybe it was looking at us, too. And this thing just kind of sat there, you know, and we were looking at each other, all of us, for, I would say a good minute, anyway. You know, seemed like it was a lot longer than that, but, you know, I'm not quite sure how long it was, but, you know, a minute or so, anyway. And and then it decides to just sort of pull back on the same way, you know, that it had come in, and it just got smaller and smaller, you know. But it never turned or, you know, anything like that. It just, it came in, sat, you know, and went back on the same trackway, if you will, you know, that it had come in on. And one of the girls I was playing with, one of her brothers was there, and he was about 15 or so at the time. And, you know, he decided he was going to, he was going to go down to the field and, you know, go around and try to, you know, try to keep seeing it. And, I guess he, didn't have much luck, but, I thought later years, yeah, you're lucky, boy, you did get picked up that night. You know, you know, cause you know how kids are at that age, you know. And,
right.
I thought, yeah, you know, run after this UFO, you know. So,
well,
you know, telling, they might have put him under glass or something. But, but the way I recall, he didn't have much luck with it, you know, after that. But, that was the orange one in, 70 or 71.
So you've had others though?
Yes, yes. There was, now this was still in Potosi. This was, during those, you know, the later years and, when things were a lot scarier, and I was out on my bike on the street that we lived on at the time, and there was trees, you know, towards the edge of the road and everything, and a hill, and then kind of a bigger hill even up beyond that, and this white disc came up. I guess you would call it a disc, but not in the way, not horizontally, it was vertical. Or that's what it appeared to be like. It came up like the sun would come up, you know.
Oh, okay.
It just sort of inched, you know, it just sort of inched up, you know, almost like you've seen the sun come up in cartoons. You know, it'll go, you know, and then there it is. And that's kind of what this thing did. So, you know, I don't know if they were trying to be funny or what, but anyway, you know, I was, you know, mesmerized by this thing, maybe literally, I don't know. And, cause there again, I didn't see any, you know, no windows or anything. And, just this flat, flattish, whitish, round thing. And, you know, I wasn't particularly frightened at that point, but I was definitely weirded out. And then,
well,
then it started coming
it?
Towards me, you know.
Here we
and
go.
I thought, oh, yeah, oh boy, you know, yeah, I got scared at that point. And I rode home on my bike, you know, because I wasn't that far down the street, you know. And, I believe I made it home without it catching me, but they must have just let me go because I'm sure they could have stopped me if they had really, really wanted to, you know, and I don't believe I got home, you know, later than I should have or anything. So, I've wondered in later years if maybe that and the missing time part were not connected, if maybe they didn't get to do what they wanted to do that day, so they came to the house later. You know,
oh, right.
Did whatever it was they were going to do. You know,
you do have a memory of being on board, right?
Well, yeah, that was. I think I was on the bridge actually. You know, and that's the one where we're all standing there. You know, and there's a person standing on my right, and up at the front there's this this big bank of windows. You know, and of course it's dark because, you know, we're in space. And over here on the right, there's this big glowing, you know, it's a sun, I'm sure, you know. And, it's in one corner of one of the windows, you know, and, it's a yellow sun, as near as I can tell. And, like I say, there's a person standing to my right, and there's this little, sort of a little wall or a partition next to him. And, I don't know what's beyond that, a hallway or something, I think. And like I say, there's this big bank of windows up front, and there's a guy that's leaning over. I guess what are the control panels? They're black in color, and they kind of jut out from the wall. And they're a few inches thick, and that, but there's nothing supporting them underneath. You know, nothing that looked like legs or a cabinet or anything like that. And there's no chairs around. You know, we're all standing.
Right.
And this one guy is hunched over something, you know, one of these panels, and doing whatever it is he's supposed to be doing, I guess. And I'm looking at this, at the sun, and I ask somebody, you know, is that our sun? You know, meaning the Earth's sun. And somebody said, no, it wasn't. And I said, oh, I was just wondering because, you know, we were studying the sun in school right now, you know, and I remember saying that. And that's kind of where that ends, you know. There's not a lot of light, you know, there. There's it's like it comes out of the ceiling or comes out of the walls or something.
Right,
but there's nothing that really looks like a lamp or, you know, a ceiling light or anything like that. And like I say, we're all standing, you know, there's no such thing as a chair or a bench or anything like that.
Hmm. Wow. Well, so, one experience I want to ask you about as well, which I think is one of your more interesting ones before we run out of time. Because, is that one experience where the ET came into your bedroom and held up Mr. Streber's buck.
That was actually my most recent experience, which really isn't all that recent. It was December of 2000, and that's the one where he was by himself and we just talked, you know. There wasn't anybody crowded around the bed or poking anything in me or anything like that. So, and one of the things he said, he held up a copy of Mr. Streber's book, the first book, Communion, and he said everything in this book is true, you know. And so I think what I told you before was, picture what this looked like, him standing there, you know. Holding a copy of a book with his picture on the front. it really was almost humorous in a way, you know. And,
well, did he look very much like the ones on the cover?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, he was one of the taller ones, you know. And,
With also talking about
the big black eyes and all that, you know.
Was he wearing anything?
Not that I could tell, you know. They either have really, really tight-fitting clothes that look a lot the same color as their, you know, kind of off-white skin, you know, or they're not wearing anything, you know. I've not seen anything that looks like sleeves or boots or hats or anything like that. I haven't seen anything like that.
Huh.
So.
No, he talked about DNA a little bit as well. He showed you like a tray or...
He had a, he showed me a, like what we would think of a small tray, you know, like you might use in a hospital or something. It had these four bars on it. And he said the first and third ones were ours, and the second one and fourth ones were theirs. You know, and I'm going, wow, that's interesting. You know, and, because they were sort of these little flat bar-looking things. You know, they looked like they were maybe about 4 inches long by maybe an inch or so wide. And
what color were they?
They were darkish, you know, sort of a dark brown maybe. But the ends of them were a different color. They were sort of a lightish gray, you know, the ends of the bars.
Okay.
And and he also showed me, and he was very, very clear about this. You know, he held his hands out, and he had representations of the star system. And he said they come from a twin, not binary, star system. You know, he was very clear about that. you know, and he showed me two circles that were supposed to be the suns, and then he had markers coming off. There were four markers on one side, you know, with dots for the planets, and five on the other side with dots, you know, and markers coming out.
Huh.
And so I have that drawn out here. I should send that to you. You know, I don't think I've done that. And so let's see.
So you were, that was the time you were wearing a, like a gold chain, right?
And I found it in my kitchen a couple of days later. Didn't even realize I didn't have it on anymore. He must have taken it off of me for whatever reason. And, I mean, I would think just before I kind of woke up. And, of course, my husband had already gone to work, so I was by myself. And I found it in the kitchen a couple of days later. And unhooked, it was a pretty long chain. And it was kind of coiled there on my microwave cart. And it actually sort of spelled out the cursive letters A and U, you know. So I thought that was interesting. I'm not quite sure what, you know, if there's some, you know, heavy meaning in that or not. But but at any rate, you know, that's what happened.
Oh, that's interesting. A and U.
Mm-hmm. A and U. Yeah, the A was first and then the U. I thought, well, it's a gold chain. AU is the chemical. Isn't it the chemical symbol for the, you know, the periodic table for gold is AU? Isn't that right?
I don't know
if he was trying to be funny or what, you know.
Well, AU also stands for astronomical unit, which is a measure of...
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, that's a thought,
but
too.
But maybe this just occurred to me. He's trying to do your initials, A-W, but ran
out. Well, that could be. Yeah, he might have been trying to do that. Yeah, that's a thought. Yeah, that's a thought, too. Yeah. So, because the rest of the chain was kind of curled up like maybe a galaxy would be, you know. And,
AU. Well, that's interesting.
There could be, yeah, there could be several things going on there, so, you know.
Was it clearly AU? Or, I mean, it could have been an accident.
It was AU, yeah. You could, you know, it was definitely formed that way. Yeah, if I had had a brain in my head, I would have taken a picture of it, but, you know.
Right.
You know, such as I am, you know.
Right, right.
These things are just tantalizingly out of our reach, aren't they?
So, did your husband have experiences as well?
Yeah, he did. I think we were both experiencers, and I know he said one night, and of course this was years ago when he was a boy at home, and that he said he woke up and there were two people in his room, you know, but he couldn't see them very well because they were kind of glowing, you know, and so he wasn't ever sure what to make of that. And
Would you say that your experiences have been negative or positive or neutral? I mean, would you not have them if you had that choice?
Some of them have been pretty scary, but as the years have gone by, you know, I've gotten fewer and fewer visits and also more consciously recalled visits, you know, that weren't scary at all, you know. And then, of course, this one in December of 2000 wasn't scary at all, you know. And it was just
right.
Him and me, you know, talking, you know, which was pretty neat, actually. So, you know, I wouldn't want to give that up because, you know, I am a star-graving Trekkie, and, you know, this is what we've always wanted, you know, contact with other life, right, you know, and boldly going and all that, you know.
Have you ever tried to initiate contact, like through meditation or anything like that?
No. I have to say I've never thought of that, but I've heard of people who do. You know, or have tried that, because I guess I just never felt like I needed to, because it seemed like they pretty well kept an eye on me, you know.
Oh, huh, you know? Interesting.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
So when did you finally, realize that, you've been having experiences your whole life, and at what point did you decide that, you know, this was really a big part of your life? That you were,
well, yeah, it was after 2000, after, you know, after the walk-in, you know, you walked into my room, you know, and you know, and then I began to you know, just spontaneously recover memories during sleep, you know, and of course I began writing them down and everything, and you know,
well, that's another really good thing that you did,
then from you know, from 2000, I guess really 2001 on, you know, and just every now and then, you know. I don't think I've had any more encounters since then, you know. Because like I say, I'm 47, I'm not all that interesting anymore, I guess. But they have plenty of my DNA if they want it for anything, so, you know.
Well, I wonder if they're done, huh?
Yeah, I think they're pretty well done with me, you know. So, I mean, as far as that part of it goes, you know, like my DNA isn't quite as fresh as it used to be, so, you know.
Well, hopefully we'll still stop by for conversations, you know, because that's...
So, you know, just, yeah, stop by for tea and sympathy, that's right.
Right. Well, you also have that other memory. You also have that other memory of a UFO sighting, I think, driving... towards Oklahoma.
Oh, driving, yeah. We can talk. I want to tell you about something else first, though.
Okay.
From the, what I call the middle years, the, you know, 73, 74, you know, around in there. And this was up in the summer, too, because I remember I had shorts on, and this is a little embarrassing, but I had to go to the bathroom. And as I was finishing up, I felt itchy, you know, on my rear end. And... I felt these bumps back there, and I thought, what in the world is that, you know? And because I could feel that they were in a ring, you know, and there was probably seven or eight of them, you know. And I asked my mom, and she said it looked like a bunch of bites, that they were raised, and they were red, because I couldn't see them, you know. But they did itch slightly, and they were right at the... at the highest part of the thigh, you know, right before the gluteals come out, you know.
Right.
And it was on my right leg. And, like I say, this would have been 73 or 4, you know, and I'm, you know, cause what bites you in a ring like that? Nothing does. You know, I mean, you might get one or two mosquito bites somewhere or a tick bite or something, but, you know, nothing bites you in a ring like that, so. So I'm certain that had to be something, you know. And like I say, that was in those years, you know, when I was getting a lot of activity.
Right.
So,
wow.
So, yeah, I wanted to be sure and mention that, because I'm not sure if I had, you know, sent you that before or not.
I think you did mention that.
Yeah,
another
yeah,
thing I've
I think
heard
I did.
Before.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard other people mention very similar marks and things like that.
Similar things, yeah. Let's see. Let me see if I can find my my note here. Am I in the wrong thing here? Oh, yes,
Almost.
Here we are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got so much. this was February 9th of 02. We were driving home. Harry and I, we were on 75 North, and, you know, this will only be funny for you, but we had just dropped Sue off. We had done something with her, and we were coming home from that, so, so like I say, that'll only be funny for you, but anyway.
Well, actually, Sue was on the show, so.
Yeah, she was on the show, so, yeah. Yeah, she and I were the Sisters of Weird, that's true. And, anyway, it's just around 275 in Cincinnati and all that, and, you know, we have a lot of air traffic up here, and or we did at the time, and, you know, helicopters and, you know, medevacs and all this kind of stuff. And so I see this flash, you know, in the sky, you know, out of nowhere, and I think, what the heck is that? Because I'm thinking, well, it must be a traffic helicopter or something, you know, because you don't think about that the first thing. And
right.
So then I'd look and look, and I don't see a helicopter, I don't see a plane, you know, see anything. And then, you know, I'm looking around, and then as I look further to the left, I can see this kind of a second flash, and then these two little, I guess you'd call them black lines formed on the clouds. Now, this is weird, you know, if you've not seen anything like this. That they were kind of curved at the top and bottom, but straight in the center, and there were two of them, you know, together there. And they were kind of drawing in on themselves, you know, for lack of a better term.
Okay.
And then, of course, they just disappeared, you know, after that. So if you don't mind a little Trek terminology, I think somebody had to decloak before they could go to warp.
Oh.
I think that's what I saw. I think that just for that momentary second, that was the first flash, you know, the sun flashing off of whatever conveyance this was, and then the opening of the wormhole or whatever, you know, with the two little dark lines, you know, and they were only there for a second or two, you know, so
well, that's kind of
how's that grab you?
Yeah. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, I've had my moments, you know. I haven't seen a lot, but what I've seen has been pretty interesting, you know.
I should say so.
Yeah. Does anybody want to, you know, quiz me or anything, or or what?
We're actually,
did they all turn off their computers and leave, or what?
People are pretty shy sometimes, but
yeah, so.
You know, we do get calls, but not a whole lot all the time. Sometimes,
yeah,
but,
sure, yeah, okay.
But
so,
we just got a couple of minutes left, actually.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. We're running out of time here, so.
Let's
see. Well, I can tell you about something that happened. This was back in the '60s too. We were at my grandpa's house, and he lived in Alba, Missouri, and it's on the other end of the state, and. There again, this was summertime. I'm thinking it's probably 66 or 7 by then, you know. Not much later than that, that's for sure. And at the back door, there's a little porch back there, and one of the ladies, one of the taller ones, was back there. And my aunt was back there, too, only she seemed like she couldn't move, like she was suspended or something, you know. So I don't know if they weren't talking to her, just to me and to Mom, or what, you know. And she told me that there was a father-son ship and a mother-daughter ship, and we of course would be going to the mother-daughter ship. So apparently that's what we did, you know. But because this was during the day, this was up in the afternoon sometime, you know. So. But apparently they didn't want anything from my aunt because she would have been, you know, my mom's sister, you know. So there would be, of course, a DNA connection there. But apparently they didn't want, her. Apparently they just wanted Mom and me. You know, that's kind of where that ends. You know, that's not a complete story, but, you know, at least I have that much, you know, to add.
Right, well, it's another piece of the puzzle, you know. And
yeah, you know, so yeah, I just figure, well, whatever I can, you know, whatever I can help out with, you know, I'm glad to do that. So.
Right, well, we're pretty much out of time, Ann. I want to thank you so much for coming on to the show.
You're welcome. Yeah, I enjoyed it. So have me back sometime. So
definitely, and we'll have to talk about your ghost experiences as well. One of these.
Oh yeah,
you had some
of
those.
Quite a bit we can talk about, that's for sure, you know.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I'll definitely have to have you back on the show.
Thanks very much.
All right, well, everyone, that is our show for tonight. I hope you've all enjoyed listening. My name is Preston Dennett. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads, and our guest tonight has been Ann Witherspoon. And we've talked about her incredible encounters with ETs, which began as a young child at about 4 years of age and continued at least past the new millennium here, 2000. So a pretty incredible story. I want to thank you all for listening, and hope you can join us next week when we bring on another exciting guest onto the BBS network. Until then, I hope you have a wonderful evening and a great week. Bye now.